Imagine buying an expensive dictionary without a grammar book. That's how Nobel Prize-winning biologist Sidney Brenner described the Human Genome Project, perfectly capturing the central insight of the music of life. Our genes aren't a deterministic program that simply runs from start to finish. They're more like a sophisticated database that requires complex interpretation. This perspective has captivated not just scientists, but artists too. Radiohead's Thom Yorke cited the book as inspiration for In Rainbows, drawn to its exploration of how complex systems create something greater than their parts. What makes this perspective so compelling is how it overturns our fundamental assumptions about genes without requiring specialized knowledge, just a willingness to see familiar concepts in an entirely new light. Would you say a CD causes your emotional response to Schubert's Piano Trio? Of course not. The CD merely stores information, enabling recreation of the experience. Yet we make this exact error when thinking DNA causes life. The human genome resembles a CD in carrying digital information through four chemicals, A, T, G, C. But DNA itself is passive until cellular machinery reads it. Here's the paradox. Proteins are needed for the machinery that reads DNA to produce proteins. Furthermore, genes don't map neatly to single proteins. In higher animals, coding segments, exons, are separated by non-coding stretches, introns, allowing multiple splice variants from the same gene. The fruit fly D-scam gene can produce thousands of different proteins depending on cellular context. This complexity makes expressions like gene for X misleading. There's no one-to-one correspondence between genes and biological functions. The genome resembles a database of successful organisms rather than a program directing development. While systems cannot exist without genes, the survival logic lies in the system, not the genes themselves. Remember the parable of rice grains on a chessboard, doubling with each square until the world would be knee-deep in rice by square 64? This illustrates combinatorial explosion, which makes simple genetic reductionism mathematically impossible. With 30,000 human genes interacting in complex ways, the numbers become astronomical. Even if just two genes cooperated for each biological function, we'd have nearly 500 million potential functions. Most processes require far more. Heart rhythm maintenance involves roughly 100 cooperating genes. In reality, the possible number of functions becomes 10 to the 289, vastly exceeding the estimated 10 to the 80 atoms in the observable universe. Nature manages this complexity through chemical constraints, cellular compartmentalization, and protein specialization. Think of the genome as a pipe organ with 30,000 pipes. Like an organ enabling countless musical compositions, the genome permits the music of life through gene interactions. But just as an organ needs both composer and organist, the genome requires complex cellular machinery and environmental factors to properly express its information. DNA resembles a recipe missing crucial steps the chef considered obvious. The genome isn't a complete book of life because proteins aren't the only molecules determining biological function. Water, lipids, and non-gene-coded molecules are essential, with much protein behavior depending on self-assembling chemistry rather than genetic instructions. Unlike human languages designed for clarity, genomic language serves no explanatory purpose. It doesn't explain that certain genes enable synapses or trigger insulin secretion. It's more like a parts list without assembly instructions. Even if aliens perfectly analyzed human DNA, they'd face a fundamental problem. DNA contains no information about water, lipids, or other essential components. They'd be mystified watching cells form and develop into humans when DNA interacts with its environment. We inherit not just our genome, but our mother's entire egg cell with all its machinery, plus the world, the chemistry of water, lipids, and countless molecules not coded by DNA. The recipe is incomplete, yet life happens anyway. How does a single fertilized egg become a complex organism with hundreds of different cell types? The reductionist view that the genome dictates to all other levels proves inadequate. Instead, higher-level patterns constrain and direct lower-level processes, what scientists call downward causation. Nerve cells demonstrate this through sodium channels that transmit electrical charges. While more channels increase signal speed, this only works to an optimal point before transmission slows. The system maintains balance through electrotranscription coupling, showing causation operating from top down. The heart remodels its gene expression based on activity, with athletic hearts showing different patterns than those with heart failure. Mothers transmit influences to embryos affecting gene expression, determining adult health patterns years later. These maternal effects can span generations, proving the genome doesn't carry all transmitted information. Downward causation includes influence from any higher level upon lower levels, using messengers like hormones that act on cell receptors. These processes follow the same scientific rules as upward causation and can be equally quantified. In 1959, a young physiologist modeled heart electrical activity during 2 to 4 a.m. slots on London University's only computer. His mathematical models of heart rhythm proved fundamentally correct for decades afterward. These models revealed that just 50 proteins in a network could account for cardiac rhythmic activity. The crucial insight? Causation works bidirectionally. Components alter system behavior, and the system alters component behavior. When feedback from cellular rhythms to proteins is disabled in simulations, oscillation stops completely, demonstrating downward causation's essential role. Nature features rhythmic mechanisms spanning a trillion-fold frequency range. Heart rhythm operates at about 1 Hz, while nerve cells generate up to 1,000 impulses per second. Other rhythms include insect wing oscillations, 200s per second, respiration, every few seconds, hunger cycles, several times daily, circadian rhythms, lunar-based cycles like ovulation, annual migration patterns, and even the 17-year cicada reproductive cycle. These rhythms emerge from component interactions within systems rather than being simply encoded in genes. Like melodies that don't exist in individual notes, they represent properties that transcend their components, creating the pulsing music of life. What if the self isn't an object but a process? While neurons and brains are objects, the I exists differently, similar to how cardiac rhythm exists at the cellular level, but not below it. A brain isolated from sensory input couldn't communicate, making questions of consciousness meaningless. Cultural perspectives on mind and self vary widely. East Asian languages naturally emphasize processes over subjects, making it easier to conceive of the self as a process rather than an object. The self can be understood as a coherent, integrated process with characteristics of an agent. We think of it as an object because it's associated with a particular body, but this doesn't make it a physical object rather than a coherent process. Music, like life itself, is a process that must be appreciated as a whole. Even describing the self as a process remains a metaphor with limits. The music of life emerges from the complex dance between genetic inheritance and environment. We are neither simply our DNA nor separate from it. We are the music that plays when all elements come together in the symphony of existence.